following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hi there, and welcome to Wilson Wednesdays. Glad that you're joining us here again. It's just me today. We want to definitely can keep including the family, the Wilson family, and our Refuge family. We love getting to interview them, and hope you enjoy that as well. Would you, if you have a moment this week, and you watch any of the Refuge Dailies and Wilson Wednesdays being part of the Refuge Daily family, would you let us know that you're watching, and so that we can continue to do these and produce these videos each day, every weekday, actually Monday through Friday at noon, we launch our Refuge Daily. But we'd really love to hear from you to know that you're watching them and if you're getting anything from them. So would you just let us know? You could email on the website. You could just email our main Refuge email, or you could even just call in and let us know that you're watching. For today, for the Wilson Wednesday, I taught this last weekend, and Pastor Bill the previous two weekends, about false teaching, and we've gone backwards and forwards over talking about the importance of knowing false teachers and what they look like. But some of the questions that we got back, or that I got back this week, were who specifically are the false teachers? And I think it's an interesting question, because there are some, you know, some of the bigger names that we know of false teachers, and actually somebody had suggested Kingdom of the Cults is a book. I haven't looked at it actually for years, but there was a catalog of a ton of false teachers, and I think one of the things that you can really say is while you can get specific, there are obviously movements of false teachers. It would be better to teach someone what a false teacher looks like, because it's not that not all false teachers are part of big movements, the big names. There are actually smaller false teachers that go into churches, and not all false teachers are pastors or leaders of big movements. So I think one of the things that I would say to those wanting to know specifically, would you name some of those people out there who were false teachers? I think better to teach what they look like. One of the things I wanted to do today with our time, just briefly, is talk a little bit more about some of the, Jesus said, those false teachers will come in looking like sheep. They'll look like everyone else. They look like nice people, you know, whatever they look like. But really, he calls them ravenous wolves inside. And then he says that you will know false teachers by the fruit, by what they produce, by the ministry that they do, by their hearts, by their character, by their actions, by their attitude. And so I wanted to just point to a couple scriptures real quick before we start. And actually, before I do that, I would just say three really quick ways to spot false teachers and false movements, by the way. In fact, when I'm looking at churches and people say, well, what about this church? I usually go to their doctrine, and I want to see three things. And there's probably more, but the three ones that I always kind of look for when I'm looking at a church is, the first one is, what do they say about the gospel? Did Jesus rise in bodily form? Is believing in Jesus the only way to salvation, or is there other ways? Oftentimes, false teachers will say, you need to believe in Jesus, but also you need to do X, Y, and Z, and there's actually a works-based element to their teaching. And so I believe that would be one way to say, hey, that's false. You know, that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you believe in me, you will be saved. And so I would say, one of the things about a false teacher, maybe they would add something to the gospel. Second one, I would say, of the three, the second one is, I want to see what they say about the Trinity. I want to see what they say about the Godhead. Is Jesus to them fully God and fully man? And sometimes you'll see a weakening of that in false teaching. They'll say Jesus was just a man, or Jesus was one of many gods. And in fact, when we talk about Christianity, we're saying that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And we believe in a Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are separate persons, but one deity, one one essence, one. There is only one God, even though represented in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so I want to look at, when I go on that website and I see who that guy is or who that lady is, and I want to see what she says about who Jesus is, that Jesus has to be fully God and fully man in order for the gospel to be true, for someone to die for the sins of all of humanity, to live a perfect sinless life and be able to die through all humanity and pay that price for us. Jesus has to be fully God. So they'll deny the gospel or they'll add something to the gospel. I want to know what they believe about the Trinity. Is God three in one? And the third one I often will look to is, what do they say about Scripture? What's their view of Scripture? And sometimes you'll see in cults or in false teachers that they'll actually add to Scripture, that there'll be things that they say, well, our prophet says this, and it either contradicts Scripture or it adds to Scripture. And I want to follow someone. I want to be a part of a church that believes in the authority of Scripture and is not taking away or adding anything to it. And so those are three ways, I think, right off the bat. Rather than naming a name, you could go to that person's website or you could go to that church's website. And I want to, again, I want to see what they say about the gospel, who they see Jesus is, and what the gospel means. I want to know the Trinity. Do they believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? What do they believe about the authority of Scripture? Is it God breathed? Is it living and active? Is it God's word to humanity? And if it's shortened by any way or it's added to by any way, then that's not the person that I want to follow after. I want to say that's a false teacher. So the other one I would say here is, now that I've kind of looked at those three big things, and again, you may add more to that, and I probably would if I thought more, I could add to more what to look for. But now I want to look at the person. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits. And one of the ways that we could do that is, like, I'll read this passage to you. It's Romans chapter 16, verse 17. And this is, listen to what he says. I now urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. The warning is that there will be people who come in and cause divisions amongst you. Yeah, even over doctrine at times. And he says, listen, if they cause that division, contrary to the doctrine that you were taught, the gospel primarily, but even how to live as Christians amongst each other, if they're teaching something divisive within the church, be careful of that person. Avoid them, in fact. And he goes on, he says, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. In other words, I want to be careful of someone who comes in and causes division, teaches something contrary to Scripture, and even though they sound good, and it may sound good, I want to be careful of those people. That was Romans chapter 16, verse 17. And then this morning in my quiet time, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul kind of lays out this, what does the heart of someone who is genuine in the Lord look like? Someone who's really, truly, genuinely coming to minister for the gospel. And then what I would say is, if the heart of the person you're following, that false teacher, is contrary to this, then I would say they're a false teacher. I would say escape, get out of there. And so here's what Paul says. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict. For our exhortation did not come from error or uncleanliness, nor was it in a deceit. But, in other words, we were honest with you. We brought to you the gospel, and it actually cost us something. We did it amongst much conflict. But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. So Paul is saying, listen, we came to you, we spoke in much conflict, and our coming to you was not to win you over to us. We didn't just say words, flattering words, as Romans said, smooth words. We didn't speak to you that way to win you to us. Listen to what he says. but God who tests our hearts. God was who we were coming to please, not ourselves, not our own bellies. Listen to what he says, verse 5, 2 Thessalonians. For neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is our witness. In other words, we didn't act poor so that we could get money from you, so that we could fill our own bellies. We didn't use flattering words. Verse 6, nor did we seek glory from men. Think about when we think about false teachers, oftentimes it's somehow to satisfy their own pocketbooks, satisfy their own lifestyle, satisfy their own pride or their ego. And he's saying, listen, nor did we seek glory from men. We weren't looking for position. One of the key things that I would just say is if I'm looking at a ministry or if I'm looking at a false teacher, if it looks like they're only trying to make a name for themselves or fill their own pocketbook, their own bank accounts, I want to be careful of that. That's not what we see in the gospel. Not what we see through the New Testament, these men who are sacrificing everything. Look at what he says. He goes on. He says, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others. And when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ, we didn't do that. We didn't make demands on you, even though we could have, he says, as apostles. But look what we did. He says, but we were gentle among you, just as nursing mothers cherish their own children. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives. Catch that. Hey, what he's saying here is like we could have come and made demands like these other false teachers do. We could have asked for money. We could have asked to be provided for. And he says we didn't do any of that. In fact, when we came to you, we were well pleased not only to give you the gospel, the full gospel of Jesus, but we also gave you our own lives, he said. We were sacrificial. We did all that we could to just give ourselves over to you because you had become dear to us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the gospel of God. Now think about that for a second. What does it mean? He's saying, listen, we came to you and we gave everything. We even gave you over our own lives. And in fact, we worked at night so we could preach during the day. We worked during the day so we could preach at night because we came to you and we gave all to you. That is so contradictory to oftentimes what we see with false teachers or false prophets or people that ministries that are built around elevating a name. This is so contradictory to what we see. And so again, we could have gone specifically and maybe you have some people in mind who you think, oh, that must be a false teacher. Well, put them against the litany test. Look and see, what do they say about the gospel? Do they deny the gospel? What do they say about the Trinity? What do they say about the authenticity of Scripture and the authority of Scripture? And then I want to look at the fruit that Jesus says that they're producing. And if they're not about the people, and if they're not about the gospel, and instead I just see an elevation of a name, and I see a lot of money going in one direction, and not a whole lot of money being spread out, I want to be careful of that person. And here's where he closes. In that 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 passage, he says, you are witnesses, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. There was no contradiction between what we were preaching and the way we were living our lives. There was no contradiction there. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, listen, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He's like, we came as like fathers among you who loved you and exhorted you and corrected you at times because we love you and we gave you our lives. And I would say, listen, if you're asking the question, well, who are the false teachers out there today? And I think you could probably name some names, but rather than that, equip yourselves with knowing what do they say about these important parts of who we are as Christians. And I want to be able to look at the fruit of their ministry and the fruit of their lives. And I want to look at their heart. Are they like Paul is here, willing to give it all, willing to sacrifice for their people? And so I think that'll help us. Let me pray. God, thanks for your wisdom and your direction. I do pray in today's day and age, as we talked about this weekend, as oftentimes we see Bible literacy declining, that opens the door so much for false teachers to come in. And would you just begin to bring a love and a passion for your word again back into your church, where they love it and they spend time with it and they are discerning and they're making decisions in life based on the wisdom from your word. Lord, I pray that you would equip your church to fight against false teaching, false prophets. Lord, I pray you'd protect your church from that. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you next Wilson Wednesday, or we'll see you this weekend.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.